If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
R&B money! We up! Tank! Jay Valentine! We are the authorities on all things R&B.
Ladies and gentlemen,
yeah.
My name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this is the R&B Money Podcast, the motherfucking authority,
authority!
On all things R&B.
Yeah, he here today. He is here today.
All I'm going to say is,
what they gotta do? Go put on that. What?
Put on your red. You don't got no red dress.
You better go get you one.
You better go get you one so you can get rubbed the right way. So you can make some dogs with the Johnny Kelly.
I got Kennedy to thank for that. He gave me my name. You know, every artist got to have that one record that's just their signature.
Yes.
And it's like, Kenny gave me my name. Wow. And I'm so glad he took that record back from the Whispers. Because remember, the Whispers
had... Hold on. What'd you just say?
Yeah, he had given that record to the Whispers.
No.
And he said...
we start with an exclusive.
Hold on. Exclusive. He was like, yo, I think this might be better... But Johnny, and that's how we ended up with... matter of fact, the Whispers even recorded it. And they said, I guess I don't know what happened between them. I don't know if it's some money stuff, but I was like, whatever happened, thank y'all. Shit.
Because was Gerald Busby over your project?
Yeah, yeah. Gerald was over the project.
A la me.
Mr. Busby, yes, sir.
A la me.
In the movie. Yeah.
So I made sure that record was bought.
I thank you so much.
You ain't anytime.
Man, let me tell you, if it wasn't for you, I don't know what my name would be. But it wouldn't be my mama.
Johnny, first of all, you're legendary, brother. You are absolutely legendary. We are honored and blessed to have you here. I wanna say this, and then we'll get into it. I wanna give you love, and I wanna salute you.
Yeah.
For how you handled yourself on tour, and what you had to endure and what you had to go through.
Yeah.
And to power through that, and to get on that stage, and be a living testimony.
Yeah.
And to testify the way you did, brother.
Yeah.
Like, unreal, brother.
Man.
And, we still sending you love and prayers, man.
Absolutely.
It's still a challenge every day. And I didn't think, I think we all know as kids, and just adults too as well. We know when you lose a loved one, but your first thought as a kid is when you think about it, what if something happened to my mom?
Yeah.
I couldn't live. I wouldn't be. And it's like, man. When that day came, I tell you, man, you don't know what kind of strength you have. You don't know what you really honestly going to do, because I couldn't tell you what I would have done in that moment. But I just had to just go, let go, let God. And I had to lean and trust on him more than anything and anybody, man. I tell you, I'd never, even watching my mom and her decline with her health, it's still... You know the inevitable, but at the same time, I always tell everyone, because I know we all got to leave here, but when you're seeing people that are leaving and you know they're going to leave, I always tell everyone, you must try to stay in the moment, stay in the now, because if you get too far ahead, trying to figure out when and how and when it's going to happen, what happens is you rob yourself of the now. So whatever that is that's going on, if they're still here, you're still in the game, they're still in the fight, and you have to try to stay present, stay in the now. And that's what I did. I rode it all the way up till the last breath. But it was just tough, man. And I tell you, I don't know. It's like I'm waking up still every day. The pillow is just drenched with tears. And I remember asking Tyler Perry. I asked Tyler, I said, he said, you know what? He says, you're going to be all right. I said, I don't know, man. He said, no, you're going to be all right. He says, in 9 years. I said, what do you mean in 9 years? He said, it took me 9 years. He said, you got a long way to go.
Yeah.
I said, my God.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is what I got to deal with. He's like, man. And it's just, it becomes more bearable, but it's just
it's
pain
never
will
gone.
Always be there. Yeah. I'm like, this is, man, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. And I got a lot of motherfuckers I don't like. But I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. But, ultimately, it's just that I have on this shoulder that's called the gratitude bag. And even through all the pain and through the heartaches, I still wake up every day and I make an effort to go in and reach into that gratitude bag. And understand that at 81 years of life and allowing me to be here for 57 years, that God allowed me to have my mom throughout my life, he didn't have to do it, because there are kids that have grown up without a mother or without a father, without both. And to have, her here and to have guided us and worked as hard as she did. And she got an opportunity to see her child carry that name and the family's name, and I never robbed and stole from anybody. Even when I was out, when you're growing up and you're in this business, you're having fun, wilding out, but even in the back of my mind, I was still conscious of going, I don't want to embarrass my mom. That's a no-no. So, it's been a blessing. So every day I still reach into that gratitude bag and think about how she could have been gone, and how we thought at one point she was gone, and she
she came roaring back and gave us 9 more years. And I said, wow. God has given us 9. If he gave her even 9 more, it still probably wouldn't be enough. You know, so I'm just grateful. I'm grateful. And I know I got to continue to keep pushing through it, but I'll never forget going back to work and the guys were saying, you don't have to come back. And I said, this is not about me. I said, my mother worked 3 jobs. We were on welfare. Lights would get cut off. Water would get cut off. But yet my mother wouldn't allow, she had to raise 4 boys and she would not allow us to live in the projects. If you didn't know any better, you would have thought we were middle class, because we never lived in with 4 boys, a single mom, a single lady taking care of 4 boys,
yeah.
That we lived in a decent neighborhood and nobody knew pretty much what our lives was like.
Right.
And that was hard work and that was sacrifice. So I realized, I knew what my mother would want me to do, and that is she wanted me, you know, to carry on. And so that sacrifice that I had to make that time, during that time, was nothing compared to what she had to do to deal
Talk
with
about
the
it.
4 boys.
Talk about it.
So I had to push myself through that process and try to get through it as the best that I could. But boy, I tell you, I've been through some rough stuff in my life, but man, I don't think nothing ever compares to that one.
Yeah.
I'm making that decision. I have to go. I'm going to stand out here in front of these people and do what I know she wants me to do.
Well, we felt you, brother.
Yeah.
I promise you that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was inspiring.
Yeah.
It was inspiring.
That's why, listen, man, I'd rather believe that there's a God and die and find out that there isn't than to go and leave about it here and realize, oh, you was for real?
I thought you was playing. Yeah, they tell me he was doing the thing with the gold.
Oh, man.
Rolls and stuff. It's gold in here. Shit.
Yeah.
So I ain't got a mansion?
Oh man,
wow. I missed out on my mansion.
Now it's just a double whammy, because down here we're supposed to have 40 acres in the mule.
Oh
now,
man,
now you get up there and ain't got nothing.
Oh, we talking about it.
Here we go. What happened, man?
So let's do this. Let's go back to 4 boys.
Yeah.
4
yeah.
boys being raised.
DC?
Yeah, DC.
Out of DC. DMV.
Yeah, this original Trocley.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Talk about them humble beginnings, man, and discovering that you are different.
Man, let me tell you, it's crazy. We grew up, my dad was a minister, so we grew up singing in church. Mm-hmm. And he started his church in D.C. And then when my mom and him separated, he moved to Phoenix City, Alabama, Columbus, Georgia, and then Phoenix City, Alabama. And it was crazy because we had to be in church 2-3 times on Sundays, and you have to go to Bible study, and it was all this stuff. And my dad one day bought us all these instruments, and I was intrigued with the guitar. And I couldn't tell you at that time, I didn't know what it was, why I was intrigued with the guitar, but I picked the guitar up and I just started playing it.
Hmm.
I never had took guitar lessons, I haven't done anything, and I just started playing. And and so my brother, one of my brothers had a bass, the other one had drums, and the other one had bongos. And it was funny because, you know, as kids, we used to fight, you know, but when my dad come in, everybody straightened up. Dad was no joke. He was no different than Mr. Joe Jackson in a way. I mean, when I say that, I love Joe, and I knew Joe as well. I'm saying in the sense that he was a no-nonsense guy.
Yeah, he wasn't
like,
playing.
When Dad came home, everybody was like this. Your room clean, you got this, make up the bed, make sure. But my dad, when you know, the kids, we they wouldn't let me play with their instruments. I used to play sick, and when they go to school, they never understood how I knew how to play all everybody's instruments. I didn't know at the time, I was intrigued, and that's what the word was, intrigued.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at this stuff, and I would pick up an instrument, I just start playing it. I just would figure it out. So my dad made us form the group. You know, I was the youngest out of the crew, and they would kick my ass in front and make me sing it, because they used to beat my ass. They was like, no, you can get out there and sing. So I ended up being the lead singer and not realizing that, you know, at the end of the day, I tell them years, looking back at it, I'm like, How you like me now?
How you like me now?
You want to do what?
You want to do
it? You want to sing background with me?
Maybe we let him sweep out the caboose.
ain't no bongos on this song.
Ain't no bongos on this tour.
Yeah.
So are you guys singing gospel?
We were singing gospel,
yeah.
All over the metropolitan area, the DMV. It was, you know, as a matter of fact, I saw the interview
KC.
with KC. Little Cedric.
That y'all was going at it. Us,
yeah, y'all, you know, we're going to be on, y'all going to be on there with Little Cedric and them, right? It's like, yeah, bring them on.
Bring them on.
So what was the name of y'all group?
Little John and the Wings of Faith.
So it was Lil Jon against Lil Cedric.
Lil Jon and
the somebody
got to
make a T-shirt. Somebody has to make a T-shirt.
Man, what
of Lil Jon and Lil Cedric?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
So you said Lil Jon and the what?
In the Wings of Faith.
And listen, and KC gave it up to you.
Oh,
KC was
yes,
like,
he did.
Oh no, he was.
Oh man,
he was smoking.
Let me tell you,
he was smoking.
It was, you know, everybody. You need somebody that. Especially, I mean, we are all artists, but you always need that somebody that just inspires you, that push you, or you know, okay, when I go,
that's a thorn in your side.
You better bring your, you know.
Yeah,
and he was like, "Little Cedric, look Cedric, little who,
yeah, little who."
And but then they used to rock, man, he used to rock, and I enjoy. The crazy thing about me as an artist, and I think for years it's been this way, I envy people that have this thing where it's like, hey, I'm better than you, or when them come, I'm gonna stomp them. I have that competitive thing in me, but I have this thing where anybody can come on my stage. And it's like I welcome it, and I'm like, it doesn't matter what your skill level is. Even if your skill level is greater than mine, it never allowed me to have this insecurity thing where it's like you feel like, you know, like, oh man, I think I'm better than him. Oh man, watch him. I ain't going after him. And it's like it's never been a thought process for me. And I think it's just, I enjoy the art of music. I enjoy every great gift and talent that God has given every man. And to me, it's like I welcome anybody.
Yeah.
At any time. I mean, me and Stevie used to sit. Stevie would come over to my house.
You know what? And hold on. Stop. Hold on.
That
hold on.
Is a hold floss. On.
I'm sick of this shit already.
What?
I'm sick of this shit already.
What?
Okay?
What?
Stevie would come over to my house.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Like,
hey, let the legend tell his story.
How'd he get there?
Man, stop. Hey, see? Huh? There you go. There he go. Did he
Stevie
drive
drove sometimes. You know what?
Let me ask you something. Jet sip, and then he just do this. When he had to break.
He had to pick
him down. He got him down back. He got him down.
I think that you should really come over and shut up, you're my bitch. And I would go with me. People were watching us going at it. We do the dozen. Steve and I, for years, would just go hard.
You're going crazy.
And so I would go, hey, yo, you know there's people in the room, right? He goes, okay. Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Will you open your mouth? Open my mouth, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to put something in it.
Oh, hell no! No!
Go, no!
Hey, you know there's people in this room. They'll be like, oh, Steve will get you. Yo, Steve goes hard. And let me tell you,
what?
Man, and it gets quick.
Hey,
and yo, man, he's quick.
Hey, man. That's the greatest of all times.
Oh, shit.
That's the greatest of all times.
Let me tell you, the reason why I love these Stevie stories, because as a kid growing up, idolizing Stevie.
Yeah.
People ask me all the time, what is your greatest, you know, reward in being in this business? And it's not the awards that I've won. It's none of those things. It's the fact that I met this guy when I was a kid, and to call him my brother, it's just,
it's
to
crazy.
Me, the greatest reward one could get, because I've always looked up to him, and still even to this day. And me and him were sitting there and go for hours, going back and forth, running and riffing. And one day, this motherfucker did a run that lasted about a half hour, and I was like, motherfucker.
That's it.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I'll be right back.
We can't do this, can we? That's not legal. We would be in there. I'm talking about Steve would play from 11 o'clock till 6 in the morning. He'd be still sitting in there playing. We'd all be hanging out, just Eddie, myself, and Nicole, all of us. And we would just be in there, tore up, getting... And
I like how you just
Steve
threw Eddie in
there,
just threw Eddie and Nicole.
And we look over, it's at 4 o'clock in the morning, everybody in the couch like this.
And he's still going.
Be in there. Ding, 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 ding.
He is just the epitome of music.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
His existence is just pure music.
Yeah. But he has got the biggest heart, man. And let me tell you, this guy has been a true blessing to me in every way. And I love that guy to the core.
Yeah.
I love him to the core. Yeah.
Okay. So, little Cedric, little John. Y'all getting to it
in them streets.
It's verses.
Are we going to do these verses?
Absolutely.
We're going to pull them albums up. Yeah. So we're in the gospel circuit, right? Mm,
yeah.
Is that when the discovery happens for you? Or do you make the transition to R&B first?
No, it's the gospel circuit. Mm-hmm. The craziest thing is, I remember you just saying earlier about when did I discover. The craziest thing as a kid, I thought everybody could sing.
Yeah,
I had no idea. I thought because
when you're raised
church,
in a place where everybody sings.
Exactly. Yeah. So I thought everybody could sing.
Yeah.
And man, we used to gather before the service, whichever show we was going to do. And it was a joke to me, but it was fun. Not a joke, more so than anything. We'd be sitting there talking about. I was like, watch how many people make shout. I didn't think nothing beside. It was fun to go. Okay. I'm going to wreck this. Watch this. Watch this. How many we going to make? I'm going to make that whole. I'm going to have them in there laying out, rocking. And we would come out from singing to church in these churches, and you'd see them falling out and stuff. I didn't realize until years later that that's not a joke, and that's not something everybody can do, and that is an anointing and a gift.
100%.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
And what are you, 13, 14
years
old?
Yeah. And they kept going, you see that little kid sound like a grown man? It still didn't even register.
So you had this grown. You had this grown voice at 13.
No, man. It was early.
Yeah, early.
No, it was sing like quartet. You had to be able to get out there early.
Yeah. I actually joined another group while I was still in the group with Little John and the Wings of Faith, a group in D.C. called the Prodigal Sons. They were very, very, very
the Prodigal
popular.
Sons. Who was in the Prodigal Sons?
It was Johnny Holmes and the Prodigal Sons, and then Bob Robinson took over when Johnny Holmes passed away. But they were terrorizing in D.C. They was like,
Great.
Yeah, and so I ended up even singing with them and learning a lot from them. This guy,
but
named,
they were grown men.
They were grown men. Bob Robinson. He was like the lead singer, and he was a guy that didn't have the greatest voice, but he just knew what to say, when to say it, and he could, in the middle of a song, he could have this, make the whole place just explode just from him talking.
Just
he would just be, just man, you'd be like, man, didn't have the greatest voice, but he'll kill you. He will destroy you. I was like, man, so, you've been around those kind of people really taught me a lot. And I didn't know I was taking it all in, but it was just a part of my journey and a part of, I think, ultimately where God's plan, man. But that's when I realized years later, as I started getting older and I was watching how we were becoming, people were starting to fear us. And it was like, it was funny to me at one point. And then I started realizing, maybe this is a little something different here that's going on that I'm doing because, I could get two lines out of a song and it reached a point where church would just explode before I could even get. And I think at that, over a period of time, they started to recognize it was Little John, and then, knowing what I did made them, we would perform, they was ready, but I started realizing that this is an anointing and this is not something to take lightly and to play with.
Did y'all make a record?
No, we never made a record. Never made a record.
So all live performances.
Even Casey and them, they made a record.
We
never made a record.
Wow.
Yeah.
So before y'all got to making any recordings, you end up moving over to the secular side. Because you got to the secular side early, still a teenager.
Yeah. I
I went to school with Stacey Ladisaw.
Yeah, family.
And she, we were in elementary together. And we used to be in a group.
Y'all go back to elementary school.
Yeah, wow. We were in a glee club. And Stacey's place, because Stacey started before me, obviously, her place was like the, you know, where all of the kids would gather. We would all gather there after school. And I remember in the glee club when we were singing at Kimball Elementary, I remember one day it rained and she made, we all went downstairs in her basement. And, you know, I used to wear suits to school. Don't ask me why I would wear suits with an empty briefcase.
You started early. It was me too.
Him too. You did too?
I wore suits. That's crazy you okay, said so that because I'm like, wait, now I know two of y'all. Now I know two of y'all.
I was suited up with my Bible.
Well, my brothers gave me the nickname Reverend Ike.
Reverend Ike.
I used to go, here come Reverend Ike. My God brothers, and they were terrorizers. They lived next door to us. It was three of them, and then my three brothers. All of us, we used to all roll. But my God brothers, they was, man.
Wait, but your brothers didn't wear suits to school?
No.
Only you did.
Only me and my brothers and my God brothers, they used to laugh. Oh, when I would come, they'd go, here come Reverend Ike. And, but you know, it's just what I felt more comfortable.
So you at Stacey's house with the suit on.
So I would go after school, still over there, and we'd be over there playing and stuff. So one day it was raining and she said, okay, everybody's got to go. It has to do something or y'all going to have to leave. Whoever's not doing something, she was having a talent show. And so I'm like, shit, what the hell am I going to do? Only thing I know how to do is sing. And I didn't want to sing, but I was like, hell, I'm getting my suit wet.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
So I get a call a few months later, and it's from Stacy. We had, matter of fact, had just moved, was moving back to Columbus, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
My mom and dad was going to get back together, and we had packed up our things and was moving back to Columbus, Georgia. And I got a call when I got to Columbus, Georgia, and it was from Stacy. She said, "Hey, my mom and was talking to Henry Allen, the president of the label, record label, about you. And he wants to hear your voice." We were coming. We had just gotten back to we went drove back to DC to pick up some more of our things. I made a demo tape with a $29 tape recorder. You remember the when you press the cassette?
Yeah.
I didn't know nothing about no production and none of that stuff. I'd never even recorded, so I couldn't tell you how you're supposed to play. So I was singing with just raw on with the thing. And on the tape recorder, and he called, and he asked me to sing for him and a couple other people over the phone, and I did. And I ended up singing for a couple more people, and then a couple more people. It was like he had the whole staff going, "Yeah, yeah, listen to this. Listen to this. Come on, sing it again." And I was singing, I sung Shining Star from the Manhattans.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Yeah, we're going to bring you up to New York." You know, we get with the DC, and we never went back to Columbus, Georgia. I went to New York. They flew me up to New York, a kid by myself.
Really?
And my mom didn't want to. I was 14.
14.
Because I started recording at 15, and the first record came out at 16. But I didn't know. And I've never been on an airplane and all that stuff. So it was all new. And my mom, man, she was not feeling it, but she understood it. It was like, this is an opportunity. And, you know, I didn't realize until about 10 years ago, maybe about 8 years ago, my brother was telling me, he said, you know, I used to hear mom in the bathroom praying and crying at the same time. And I was like, what? She was like, yeah, she just, it tore her up. Even when you moved and went to LA, and she was just asking God to protect you. And he said, mom would be in there like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. I would hear her praying and crying. And I was like, wow. Wow.
It's real.
Yeah.
She lets you go live your dream as a baby.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. But they assured her, the guy that you guys might have heard of, I'm not sure, but he was the man running New York, Bill Underwood.
Absolutely.
He was.
I know who that is. Yeah.
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 And he was like my, it's like my father. He's like a brother, father, everything. Yeah. But he, you know, yeah, he looked out and took care of me. But I tell you, it's a trip, man, because I realized that that was a blessing because I got to learn the business and understand it early on.
Yeah.
And some of the mistakes some of the other guys made, I didn't make. I've been in the business 40 years. I've seen a lot of things. A lot of things have happened to me just like anybody else in the business. Mm-hmm. But I don't have one story where I can tell you I went to work and somebody can tell you, you know, I've heard a million stories about going to work, going to stage, man, I wouldn't perform, and then the guy wouldn't give me my money, man. I had to pull a gun on him. I heard a billion stories of somebody getting yanked for their money at some point. Never happened. Bill taught me from day one that I'm not the risk taker. The promoters are the risk takers. And if they can't provide half up front, then don't go.
We're not going.
Don't go. And that started early on in my career. And I've seen some things and made some mistakes in doing business deals, but not getting paid for going to work has never been one.
Hmm. Yeah.
Never been one. And thanks to him, he did 33 years and he's back out. And that's my
brother. 33 years in the penitentiary?
Yeah, 33. Uh-huh. He was, Bill was, mm-hmm. you know.
You got to go into it.
Huh?
You ain't got to go into it. Yeah.
So let me tell you what happened when I got that first check, though.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Let's get into that.
Man.
Trying to tell you, y'all couldn't tell me nothing.
How much was the check?
Might have been about $2,000, I think it was. I bought me a gold watch, a nugget watch, a nugget ring, and a nugget bracelet. Who are you talking
Remember
to?
Remember Nuggets was Man. In like crazy.
with 2,000.
Nigga.
He Hell bought a yeah. full kit.
No, and here's the kicker. On top of it, I went to the dealership.
Wait, you gotta
and they gave me my Cressida and said, no, you can pay. You can start making payments later. I signed off the paper. They did. Bill went with me outside. He was like, look at this kid. I was like, hey, man. I mean, shoot.
They were doing that
they
back
was
then.
Like, yeah.
So you got a new whip. Oh, a nugget watch.
Man.
Nugget kit. With $2,000.
I was hurting.
Make it stretch.
Make it.
I said,
make
man,
it enough.
Make it enough.
I kept saying, I can get used to this. True.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, y'all couldn't tell me nothing. And I'm like, what are we doing next?
And you have a jerry curl.
Oh, man, it was leaking.
It was fucking up outfits.
Oh, man, it was leaking. But I was trying to be Michael. I was like, man, so that's what y'all liking, huh? Yeah? Tried to keep my curl down, but my smile would just be. But I was like, that's what y'all liking, y'all digging, huh? Man, I had my curl. And, man, but I tell you, the first night I got my, right, the day before I was going to get the curl, I was so excited. Because I'm thinking, you know, the girl's like curly hair and stuff. Yeah. You know, whatever, curly hair. So, you know.
Have a conversation with me.
Yeah. Because he, you know, he don't understand.
He don't get it.
I came out the womb.
He doesn't share our pain. Yeah. He doesn't share our pain.
No. I'm sitting the night before. I'm so excited, man. I was so excited thinking tomorrow I'm going to have curly hair.
Tomorrow I'm going to have curly hair. Oh, my God.
You couldn't tell me nothing.
Like the first day of school.
First day of school.
They had to do the rollers, put the roller joints in your hand, and then they got you got to set under the drive.
Yeah.
It was about a 4 or 5 hour process.
Y'all say bye to the old me.
Oh, yeah. My God, man. But I came out there with curls, and it was like, oh, don't talk to me, man. Don't talk to me. Shoot, man. I was like, I was on cloud nine. I'm like, the ladies.
Hey,
I was tempted as I was talking
about
the lady.
approach him. I have to look out. I've been telling him. I'm like,
I know y'all seen the New Edition movie. They didn't show that Johnny Gill was a pimp.
They did not show this Johnny.
My approach is like, hey, baby, I'm a model.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell him what you got on you.
Oh, man.
You kidding me?
Oh, this is great, man. I had some fun times.
How do you handle whoever came to you?
Who came to you?
Coming
and said,
to you and saying, "Hey, I know you're a solo artist. I know you're doing your thing. We trying to figure this thing out. Your solo thing. You got this grown man voice. I'm about to put you in this group."
Michael Bivins, my little brother.
Hmm.
Let me tell you, that guy. I can't even put into words how sharp Michael has always been. And the craziest thing is, out of our whole group, Michael was the one that came up with the idea, because originally Ralph was going to leave.
Mm.
And so Mike's first thought was, shit, well, how are we going to eat? And so his idea wasn't it was going to be all of us. They were just thinking, okay, if Ralph going to go off, because Ralph was working on his solo thing, and he's probably not going to come back, especially he's the lead singer, he's the most popular, he's going to probably be successful, he's not going to probably come back.
And they've already watched Bobby.
Right.
Yeah.
So he was like, shoot, so what are we going to do? Mike was a huge fan too, and that Half Crazy was the song that caught his attention.
Hmm.
And so when we was at the Whispers concert in L.A., that's when we ran into each other. But we had
before you stole a record.
Before
you stole the Whispers record.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
They was allowing you in their concerts before you stole a record.
They gonna see you on the street.
I told him, I said, who knew?
The twins will jump you.
And then I looked at him, I said, who did that?
Who did this?
I said, no way, man. I apologize, man. Shoot. But yeah, he did. We met at the Whispers concert. That's crazy because I didn't think about that. And he said, "Yeah, let me ask you a question." He said, "Do you feel like you've gotten your just due as a solo artist?" And I'll never forget just being stupid and funny. I reached my hand in my pocket and I pulled out Lynn. I was like, "Nope." And he said, "He said, hey, yo, man, what you doing tomorrow?" I said, "Nothing. What's going on?" He says, "Yeah, I wanted to see if you down to meet up for lunch." And I was like, okay. But it's never dawned on me that it's like he's calling me to talk about some business stuff. I'm just thinking, because we cross paths from, you know, doing concerts and stuff here and there. And I would go and say to hi and hang out with him. And so it never dawned on me that that's what he was just trying to do. And so we met up, had lunch with a couple of the guys. Then they wanted to come, they wanted to meet up again. And I'm sitting there going, what the hell do you want to meet up for again? And so that second time we met up, they was talking about they want to go back to a five-member group at some point, because the choreography, was the thing they gave me was the choreography is a lot more impacted. It's more impactful. Effective with five. So I'm thinking, okay. But I kept thinking, I know these niggas not getting ready to ask me about joining this group. I was like, I got two left feet. What fuck am I going to do?
At this point, you have not danced. You have not danced as an artist.
Nothing about dancing. I'm like, shoot.
I'm a crooner.
Oh, I'm a crooner.
I sing. Yeah.
And a pimp.
I sang.
And a pimp. And a pimp. There goes another t-shirt. There goes another shirt. I'm a crooner and a pimp.
And a pimp.
Where are my bitches?
Where?
Have you seen them?
Hey, man, this is gold.
Okay. So now they.
So. So yeah. So you know, we went over. They talked to me about the whole thing about this idea that they had about me coming and being a part of the group, and then I sat there and I was like, wow. And then we went from the hotel to MCA over to Joe Busby's office.
They had this all planned out. They had it laid out. Mm-hmm.
And we walked into Gerald's office and Gerald says, New Edition and Johnny Gill And Mike
was Ralph with y'all at the time?
No, Ralph wasn't with us.
Gotcha.
And Mike said, "Nah, it's New Edition." And Gerald looking, he's like, says, "Ah." And that's what Mike said. Meet our newest member. And Gerald looked, he was like a deer in the head, like he looked for a minute, then he said, "You know what? I was thinking about that too. That was like it was, I was thinking that this y'all."
So but are you still like, signed to? Was it Atlantic?
I was still signed. I was signed to MCA.
Are you on? Okay.
Yeah. And so when Gerald left from MCA over to Motown, he called Jimmy Turner and said, "Hey man, I'm trying to find an artist to sign, a male artist. You know, I was thinking, you know, like Howard Hewitt, blah, 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 he's gonna listen." And Jimmy and Terry was like, "Howard Hewitt?" He said, "You have one." So Johnny. And once again, "I was just thinking about that." But no, Terry and them said, "Hey man, you got one. And that guy is gonna be around for a long time, blah, blah, blah." And they said, you know, they agreed to do half the album, but that's when Clarence came in. They agreed to do half the album, and Kenny and L.A. Agreed to do that half. That was the first time they actually
collaborated together.
Yeah. But this is before or after New Edition?
After the New Edition.
This after?
Yeah.
Okay, so we skipped.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
We skipped, okay.
It's so much 40 years.
No, listen.
It's like,
we're here for you.
I'm great at the time stamp.
You skip. Yeah.
Yeah, because
So when we went in there and we did that, and then we went and started making plans to go back because they had started working with Jimmy and Terry in Minneapolis. And I didn't know at the time they had already started.
And Ralph hadn't started with them.
Gotcha. When I went back with them to Minneapolis, they didn't start their whole recording process, is when we all met up. And I remember Ralph going, "What the fuck is this?" Like, he's looking around.
He still quiet. Don't know.
Yeah, well, I think he sensed something because he's looking around, it's quiet, and it's like everybody's just kind of solemn. And then they said, Terry says, "All right, guys, we're going to have a meeting. Let's have a meeting." They went into, we went into their room, in their little thing where they, the office. And man, we sat at that table and all hell broke loose. All hell broke loose. And that's when I found out that he didn't even know, nor was he down with that, with adding another member. He's like, "Fuck that, I want to share my money and start splitting my money again with five motherfuckers." So it was all the stuff that was going on. I mean, they was in there screaming, yelling, and I'm sitting there looking. And I'm looking.
You playing
there,
tennis.
And I'm looking like, "Fuck, did I just walk into?"
And did you know Ralph at this time?
I knew him just
in passing.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm just sitting there thinking, I'm like, "What the hell did I just walk into?" So it was all like, man, it was crazy. So I remember Terry looked at me and he said, "You know," or either Jimmy, one of them said, "You know, well, you know, you're not going to be, you know, Ralph is the lead singer and you're not going to be doing any leads on the album." And I looked at him, I said, "Okay." I said, "Whatever, you know, I'm here for whatever you guys need me to do." And never bothered me. I never thought twice about, I'm coming in and I need to be the lead singer. I don't know. I envy people because sometimes you do need to have that
arrogant, assertive attitude. That, yeah, we just insert yourself into it. Yeah,
yeah.
But maybe you don't though, because if when you do, got the good, you miss out on an opportunity to join a super group.
Well, yeah, because
if anyone else walks into that, has that ego,
yeah,
they're like, "What you mean? I'm a solo artist. I got my solo deal. I got my record out."
Yeah, listen to this.
You
walked in and made yourself just available.
Right. Yeah.
Useful.
Yeah. Whatever you guys need.
Yeah. And that's what Terry said. Terry said when they saw that reaction, and I didn't do it by nothing intentional. It was like, okay, whatever that is.
But it also probably disarmed the conflict.
Yes.
Because again, Ralph is the lead singer of New Edition. Yeah. Ralph is Ralph.
Yeah.
So it's still like, you know, it's still, for him, it's a pecking order thing.
Yeah. Right.
And
for you to just be not, like, I'm here for, I'm, for you I'm like, here hey, service. Man,
brother, I'm, yeah. brother, it's yeah. your world. Do your.
And my level of security, I think in the back of my mind was probably, I still, even though I joined them, I still had to, had obligations to Motown.
And solo deal.
A solo deal that yeah. I have to record. And they were like, saying, yeah. Gerald was saying, we're going to have to do that. We'll do that right after the New Edition album.
Like, I'm so bad. Yeah. I'll get to
it never, yeah. And yeah. if you ever notice, if you look in all those early pictures, you'll see me. I'm always in the back. Like, I never, they used to be fighting for the position of who's going to be in front of, trying to be in front of. They used to be fighting for parts sometimes for the songs and the songs. And I was just sitting there. I'm like sitting there thinking, I'm like, okay, just whatever needs to be done. And when it was time to take pictures, I'd go and get in my place in
yeah.
the back.
Yeah.
And like, for I you, never it was, felt like, and it was, nah, it was
easy. It was easy work for you.
Yeah.
You used to having to sing the whole song yourself.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, the only thing you get, now you got to learn how to dance.
I can't tell
though.
You this, though. A lot of those songs that we were doing, I would do pretty much like the ad-lib stuff or do most of the stuff, and then they come in, and then somebody brings somebody to do, follow what I did. So I was like, I guess I'm the demo singer too, huh? It's cool.
Yes, you are.
I got, yeah. You know, so,
yes, you are.
But I tell you, when I did get pissed, though, they, all those great songs, you like Can You Stand the Rain, some of the other songs, you know, My Kind of Girl, and they was Boys giving us these parts to do. And I kept listening to some of those songs. I was like, man, I like that song. I want to sing that. I like to sing that. I love to sing that. And I'll never forget, I kept thinking, when they gave me the song Boys to Men, I said, this is some political bullshit. I said, oh, they just giving me this piece of shit just to throw me a bone now at this point. All these great songs that I could have just sung on and just been, you know.
That's how I'm thinking about that.
That's how I thought about it. And so I said, okay.
Wow.
So they're just throwing me a bone and they're just going to throw me this song, throw me this track that's out of all these other great songs. Because I just didn't think it was out of all the other records that they recorded, you know, that was
it wasn't
like
the one.
Good,
yeah.
So I said, oh, so you want to fuck with me now, huh? That's what took, when the light went off in my head. I said, oh, so you niggas are trying to fuck with me, huh? Gonna give me this weak ass shit. I said, okay. I walked in that booth. And I said, made up my mind. I said, I'm gonna fuck this song up. I remember.
That is great.
I remember singing the first couple of lines. And before you know it, before I got to the end, and I started with the ad-libs, it was like, I don't know if you guys ever seen Scooby-Doo, and they'd be having one stand over another, one stand over the other, and they all looking, they was all, so the whole room was filled with everybody in there. And by the time I finished the song, it's real quiet in there, like, whew. And I just kept thinking, listen, I've been doing my part.
Right.
I've been in here doing whatever you guys need me to do. Don't come in here fucking with me with this bullshit. And I was like, if that's the case, I'm going to just show you something. I don't give a fuck what you put in front of me. I'd set my attitude.
Light
was,
it on fire.
I'm going to fuck this song up. That was just my attitude.
Wow. Well, let me say something. You sang that motherfucker.
Man.
And that is, you sang the title cut, motherfucker.
But I was singing it mad. I was like, ah, shit, they can't find me something better.
Couldn't find you nothing better than the title fucking cut
that led to one of the greatest groups of all time. Come on, man. Come on.
Hey, man.
He's like, who knew? Well,
the moral of the lesson is always give your best. You never know.
You just never know.
It can happen.
You just never know, man. Then you get humble. You just never know, man.
You just never know, man. Hey, man.
So when you get to New Edition,
is
the addition, okay, now you, because you got to get a New Edition check.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Is that heavier than your solo check?
Hell yeah, heavy.
Because they,
heavy.
What you get? Come on now. Give me some numbers,
yeah, I know that's more than 2,000.
Heavy load.
You heard the growl.
I said, I'm big time. And it was funny because during that time, we was getting ready for the Heartbreak Tour, and they were had issues prior to with the IRS. So it was like a little bit unbalanced because I was the only one who came in clean. So,
yeah,
you know, I came in and, you know, sure,
Good. Y'all all right? Everybody okay?
How y'all doing? You got that the Z28, whatever that joint is?
Need one
of
those.
Wait, y'all get loaded. This one. That 500 SL.
I want that too.
With the car, man. Yeah. I thought I was like, you couldn't tell me nothing. I was like, shit, I done made it, baby.
You had, motherfucker, yeah.
So
yeah.
When you came in the group, if I'm not asking too much, are you a solid fifth? You getting a fifth of everything when you first come in?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
From the jump?
From the jump. Everything that I started on, with working from the day that I started working with them, absolutely.
You hear that, Tyrese?
Yeah.
You hear that, Tyrese?
Yeah. It was never about...
It's all split fairly.
All split fairly. That's how it was. And such, because everybody's contributing. And it's the point. Yeah. If you're a team, if you're a group, that's what a group does. There's really no I. It's when you're dealing with a team.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Love them, man, and so grateful.
Man, listen, man, we love y'all. We love y'all. The world. Definitely the world of R&B.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. They talk about that authority thing? Yeah. This is it. What you got for us, Chief? What you got for us?
Gill. We know you've heard a lot of R&B music. Sang a lot of R&B music.
Man.
But something has to be your favorite. Top five.
Yeah.
Your top five. Top five. Your top five R&B singers.
Come on.
R&B songs.
Come on with the ground.
Yeah.
You got to know. You got to show. I know you know. And you're going to tell us, mama, my top five.
Five.
Yeah. Come on with it.
Well, clearly now you're one.
Johnny.
No, you done worked your way up. I'm in there right now. You up in the list.
Mr. Johnny Gill. Mr. My himself.
Yeah.
Your top five R&B singers.
Stevie one. But
just
one.
Start there.
That's just my God. Luther 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Teddy 3.
Why not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People might gonna hate me for this one.
Talk your talk.
But I gotta give Kells his props.
Come on.
Gotta give Kells
his props. This is the R&B.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It's R&B.
Yeah. And I'm not just saying that because you're sitting here, but you don't work your way up in there, that boy.
Come on now.
Come on that there, boy.
Look here, boy.
You don't work your way up in there now. Now, come on now.
Come in here, man. Come on.
And I let you in on another little one.
You wrote this song called My Cry.
Absolutely. Remember that? Come on now.
I was going through it with... me and Ira at that time, and we was going at it, butting heads and going toe-to-toe. It had nothing to do with the song, but me and her was going at it. Of course, and we ended up coming full circle to become best of homies. But you know how when you with labels and you be buttoned, having creative differences and button head, we was having some other differences.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, and I remember we kept sitting there going, shoot, and I kept going, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? And she was like, you going to do this song? I was like, how you going to fucking make me do what? So we was going at it, but I'll never forget that song, and I still have that joint in my playlist.
No way.
Yes, great, yes, great. Yes.
Mike Cry.
This guy, man.
Mike, brother.
This guy.
Special.
Yeah, man, and that's why I said it. Being from D.C., listen, it just adds to it, but your gift and talent is what it is. And dude, listen. Don't sit over here and act like we're forgetting about you.
He tried to sneak out before the party starts. He does.
I don't want to have to blow up the spot to tell everybody. I've been knowing that little boy. That boy was like killing him. Like this, that boy. Come on, boy. Come on now. Come on.
Yeah. Tell the truth on it.
Hey, Tank, what you may not know
is
I shouted this man out on Soul Train.
Wow.
When they asked me and Bob and my brother Ronnie who our favorite singers were, same type of thing, and like who, you know, inspired us, I'm 10 years old. I'm like, and Johnny Gill.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes. 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 That's man, been crazy. One of my favorites.
Man. And it's so funny because one day I was watching Jeffrey Osborne and he was doing this television show. And that was in 83, my first single had come out. And I remember, forgot the guy's name that show he was doing. And they asked him who was like one of the up and coming artists. And I remember Jeffrey said, there's this kid named Johnny Gill. You got to understand what it felt like not knowing Jeffrey Osborne.
Yeah.
Fan of his.
Wow.
Sitting at home and you're watching the Merv Griffin show.
Merv Griffin show.
Yeah. And
he shout you out.
And he shout me out. And I was in shock. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, wow, it's Jeffrey Osborne. And then shortly after we met and been brothers,
he's
since.
A guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I.
He's yeah. a guy. One of our favorite episodes.
Yeah, man, me too. He's a guy.
That's my dude for life, and I tell you, he has been a part of my life since I was a kid.
Yeah.
16, 17 years of age.
Yeah. All right, Johnny, your top five R&B songs.
I gotta put. Oh my top. Oh my God. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Come on.
I'd have to say As.
Mm.
Oh, mm-hmm. My God.
Yep.
That house is not a home is where I think I first realized and I discovered what the feeling of love was.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because I was dating Stacey at the time and I'll never forget when that record came on. Whoo, man. You know, my heart started beating fast. Mm-hmm. Things started acting up and started rising. And I say, this is something different
this,
here.
This is it.
This is it.
This is, I'm
was
hot.
Like, man.
I'm hot.
Temperatures rise.
Temperatures rise.
Hey. No, he said, when I climb the stairs and turn the key, oh, please be there saying that you're still in love with me. And I was like, oh, yeah, talk.
Only on the R&B Buddies podcast. Only here.
Yeah.
Authentic R&B.
Yeah. And we
organic.
Don't, and these mics have no auto tune.
These mics have no auto tune.
Yeah.
Say
yeah.
it again.
Yeah, these mics have no auto tune.
No special sauce.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, man.
Okay, that's two.
And Teddy, I have to go with. No, let's go, Jeffrey. You're just the sweetest peaches and cream.
Come on now, that's not obscure.
I don't know if people know it.
Not obscure.
I told Jeffrey, and he made me a promise that if I ever get married, he's got to do that one at the wedding. to do that one at the wedding.
Yeah. I love that.
But he had a million of them too. Yeah. It's like, man. And what of course, Donny Hathaway.
Yeah.
Man, a song for you.
Yeah.
I just can't get around. You just can't get around. And I remember someone telling me when I was a kid, they kept going, you know, you sound like a little. And I said, ooh, this guy named, have you ever heard of this guy named Donny Hathaway? I was like, no. And I remember sitting there listening to a song for you. And then I sat there and I listened and I'm going, whoa. Something hit me where I was just like, man, who the heck is this guy? But you could hear the conviction in his in his phrasing and his just in his the notes, and it was just like I was like, man, and that's how I got turned on to Donny Hathaway.
I feel the same way about his daughter too.
Oh my God! But it seemed like over the years she just really just developed.
She's just a different kind of instrument.
The key is an instrument.
She's an instrument.
Whew, man,
she's calculated.
Yes.
Methodical.
Yes.
Diabolical.
Yes.
Foolishness.
Yeah.
And you ain't hearing a flat or sharp
note. No.
Nowhere.
She's got and she can do anything.
Her vocal is amazing.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. She got her dad and more, I would
and
say.
More. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. You got one more.
One more. You know, I know it looked like I might be stuck on myself to say this, but
go ahead.
That Can You Stand the Rain?
I mean, go on, talk.
I look at by.
Talk your talk.
Sometimes they're by. I'll be looking and listening to that young too.
Listen to yourself.
Imagine being able to sing Can You Stand the Rain every night, and it's yours. Can you imagine?
I tell you what I did. I tell you a little secret about my I did, and I was nominated. No, I had won the Male Vocalist of the Year of the Soul Train. And it was this girl, I won't say because she's, you know, actress, you know, popular.
You
know,
okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, you and actresses. This
you
is
know,
the thing.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah, I try to keep the industry, you know.
Yeah, try to keep it plethora.
Yeah, I got to do what I have
work
to do.
Work your way around, make your rounds.
Yeah, okay. You know, get around. So I was like, okay, this girl's giving me a real challenge. And so she went with me to the awards. And when we got back, I had my boy to put the champagne on ice. I had never, before in my mind, I had never ever sat and sang to a girl to figure out if that'll get me in quicker. Never. And I remember came back from the awards, and I remember going back, sitting down at the piano, and I popped the champagne. And my wasn't released yet.
Oh, he's giving her the unreleased too. Okay.
And I'm sitting there playing my at the piano. And so we went from the piano to the floor, from the floor to the bedroom. And I said, God damn, what would I have been doing all the time?
Should have been using my powers for evil.
You need to
go. Why?
You're making
this
it hard on yourself. I said, hot tomato nose. Who didn't tell? What the hell? But somebody forgot to tell.
You didn't have Babyface Records to sing to.
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, man.
Had to be the right record.
Yeah.
My.
Yeah.
You know? Shit happens.
And it went down. I was like, damn, okay.
I never wanted to use my power for
me neither.
That.
Me neither.
I always thought it was unfair. I was like, that ain't right if I just start singing in this moment.
Yeah, I thought that too, but that night though.
All right, here we go. Got it. We're going to make your Voltron. You're a super R&B artist. We want to know who you're going to get the vocal from,
mm-hmm.
who you're going to get the performance style, the styling, and the heart of the artist, right? Let's build your artist. Who are you getting the vocal from for your super R&B artist? One vocal.
Luther Vandross.
Start there.
The greatest storyteller that there is when it comes down to painting, telling a story.
Yeah.
Woo, they just don't.
He didn't even move on stage. I don't know if he walked 5 feet.
Right. Right.
He didn't have to.
He didn't have
and
to.
And you just sit there and you're just like, yeah, man, he could paint an empty canvas.
Disrespectful.
It's just, woo.
To all the jumping around and shirt taking off, I do.
Yeah, so Luther definitely.
Who are you getting the performance style from?
Performance style, surprisingly, I'm going to say the young, cocky, wild, crazy Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, let me tell you something. Brown.
Menace to society.
Man.
Bobby Brown.
When Bob Menace. Was rock, man, let me tell you something. You'd be sitting there looking, going, this thing got rubbers in his leg? What the hell? And that.
Hey, listen, Bob was trying to give y'all work on that
man,
on that Any Heartbreak Tour.
Were you thinking about that as you're rehearsing and you're about to be this new member? Like, I'm replacing Bobby Brown to a certain degree, even though he had already been out.
You know, but like, I never thought. Because the way they brought it to me was like, you're going to be, you know, we want to go back to the 5-member group. Blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right.
So it never really dawned on me until even the blow up with Ralph when we were there in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize, I'm like, what the hell did I just walk into? Bobby told me, and it was so funny because when we all got together doing the Heartbreak Tour, after the tour, I went out on my own solo. And I'll never forget, Bob came out with me. Bobby used to come to L.A. when he wasn't living in L.A., he used to stay with me, and everybody used to talk about me and him
beefing
and battling with each other.
And y'all at the crib chilling.
And he would be in the crib.
Yeah, that's crazy. So funny. That's crazy.
And he would, as a matter of fact, but Bob told me himself, he was like, I remember him telling me, he was like, man, when you first got in the group, dude, I did not like you. I was so jealous. And then he was like, when you open your mouth, I was like, God damn, Like, man. And he was like, from that point, that was what took him where he was like, I ain't fucking with that. But he said, he told me himself. And it was so funny because I was out on tour and he came out with me for a while. And I remember one day we got on the bus, on my bus, and he was just like, man, he says, I envy you. And I said, what? Why? And I remember him saying, because I don't know, like, know if I'll be able to dance for the rest of my life like this. He's like, but nigga, you'll be able to sing like this for the rest of your life. It never dawned on me. I never even thought about it, you know. And I'm looking going, nigga, but you're Bobby. Shit. Bobby Brown.
Yeah. And at the time, he got the biggest. He's
yeah, he was like, you know.
Biggest records in the world.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. Wow. But yeah, that he was to me, you know, besides MJ, the performer of all performers. Just, sure. You know.
Yeah. Bobby Performance, the young, wild, and the free wild, Bobby.
Yeah.
Who are you going to get the styling from with the artist, with the drip?
With the drip?
Yeah.
Come on, Reverend Ike.
Come on.
The styling is probably going to have to come from, yeah, I might think this is weird, but I'm going to have to say Prince. I wish I was the little guy. Prince the way was, he used to.
Prince is the guy.
Prince just
Prince
used to
be. Prince is the guy.
The stuff, because I still to this day, like bright colors, and I am scared to try anything that's of color. And I used to, the way he would just rock his with, you know, you just be like, yo, if I was that little, man.
What? No, what?
Yeah, man.
What? If I was that little.
If I was that little, I'd give that little nigga a run for his money.
He would have pulled off on you on his motorcycle.
I don't know if y'all were ready for this, Johnny Gill.
No, you wouldn't.
I don't think y'all were ready. Y'all had no idea.
No way. There's no way they knew that
they
this.
Had no idea.
They didn't know that this is what Johnny Gill is in real life.
Okay. The passion of the artist, the heart of the artist.
Ooh, the passion would probably be Donnie Hathaway. It just, I don't think, I've never seen anyone, every note you hold on to, because, you know, I often said when I found out what he went through and how, you know, the challenges that he had, I said that if someone was to offer me that voice, but I would have to go through that journey that he went through. As much as I love him, I just be an average Joe talking about paper or plastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just can't. When you listen to the passion,
the pain,
everything in his voice, it's like it just stops you in your track. And every time I hear, I don't care what song he's saying, you go, man, I wonder where he was at, what was going on there. Yeah. Like, what was he going through? Like, it's like, you hear it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say passion, I don't think it gets no stronger than, no better than that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. We ain't gonna let you up out of here just yet, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because you done said some names. You done said some names. What you got for him?
I ain't saying no names. I ain't saying no names. Who you was? Who you with? What you did? Don't say shit. I ain't saying no names.
So this segment right here,
okay.
It's called I Ain't Saying No Names.
Okay.
Where you tell us a story, funny or fucked up, or funny and fucked up, in the travels of Johnny Gill, Lil John, the first Lil John. Yeah, the first Lil John.
Nigga, that was great.
New edition. Back to solo Johnny Gill.
And then,
to LSG.
And then.
Come on, man.
And then back to
and
New
then
Edition.
Don't forget, and then back to New Edition. Six
and don't
man.
Forget, we didn't record, but there was Heads of State.
Heads of State.
Yeah. I open for y'all.
The lead singers.
I open for y'all.
Yeah. Man, you done been in 12 groups, man.
Yeah, I'm still open for a few more.
Eyes is available.
If you need a group member, call Johnny Gill. Okay? So.
Yeah.
So, we need to know in the times where they didn't have no Instagrams, they didn't have no Twitters, X, no TikTok.
Lucky you.
Tell us a story from them times, man. Just don't say no names.
Yeah, I can't say no names. But please. Man, oh my God.
You can tell us where you was.
Well, I can recall this young lady, once again, she was an actress.
Yeah.
I don't ask me how. I don't know. Listen, man.
Big movies, small movies?
Yo, she's been in some
late night movies.
No, she's been in some big movies. Big as movies. A matter of fact,
okay.
You know, I just liked working women. You know, they had a job. And I knew, you know, I don't know. They brought something to the table.
Yeah, they got somewhere to go.
They had somewhere to go, something to do.
Yeah.
But I remember her. She would show up everywhere. When we was on tour, she would just show up. And then I started dating this other girl. And I had her over at the house. And I'm sending her off to go to the airport. And the other girl I was dating comes over. And she's in the house hanging out and chilling. And I'm thinking, this other girl's gone.
Yeah.
She turns around, makes a U-turn, comes back, knocks on the door. And I'm like, what you need?
What you need?
What? Listen, man. I was a little young. I couldn't think as fast.
What you need?
What you need?
That's a dick. Right? Oh, my God.
I thought she was gone. I'm looking out the window going, huh?
No way.
So she said, I know you got somebody in there. And I'm like, ah, oh, what you talking about? And so, I'm like, fuck it. She knows, whatever. I said, hey, listen, it's my friend. She's got to come in. She claims she left something here. So I told her when she got to the door, hey, listen, we don't sign no shit in here, you understand? And then she looks, she goes, and who are you? She goes, who are you? She goes, well, who are you? She goes, who are you? I said, I told you, no, we're not going to start no shit up in here. So I told her, I said, y'all both my friends. So,
oh man,
I got her coat and gave her a coat, and she said she was done, she was through with me. Until I looked around at the next city, and here she comes.
You know what?
And standing there at my room door and crying. I'm like, damn, I thought you got rid of me.
I thought you got rid of me. Did you let her in the room?
I realized, oh yeah, that's when I realized I'm a true pimp. Hey, ladies. I didn't realize I had that kind of power. The man. One time I ever got busted, and that was the first and the only time. First and only.
And you pimped your way out of it.
Man.
You actually didn't say nothing.
I just told him, I said, listen, we're not having no shit, right? You're my friend and you're my friend.
She technically didn't. She didn't start no shit. She came in, she got her coat.
And when she bounced out, she said she was done with me. So that's okay.
She wasn't really done.
She wasn't done.
She wasn't done.
She wasn't done.
She couldn't be done with daddy.
She couldn't done. Couldn't be done with daddy.
She left there talking about why.
Oh my God.
I don't think you understand.
Johnny Gill.
This is great. Bro, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, bro. You're so awesome, man. You're so awesome, man. I've known you for many years, man. I've always known you were a goofball. But, you know, it's awesome for the world to see, and it's awesome to see you in good spirits, man.
Thank you.
And, yeah.
Thank you.
And still moving on and pushing on, man.
Yeah.
Continuing on the legacy of your mom, continuing on the legacy that you've built, that continues to inspire us.
Thank you.
And and that will continue to inspire generations to come, brother.
Wow. Well, thank you.
I hope you know that.
Well, can I just say I'm proud of both of you guys, man. Taking the bull by the horns, or however they say it, because R&B, when you think about it, people have this myth about R&B being dead, but it's not dead. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's still here. It still exists. And it's just a matter of, like, what you guys have done to create a platform to remind people and to give people somewhere to go, to come, to see and understand that it still lives. It's still not there. Gone anywhere.
No.
So it's, you guys have been doing incredible job. I've watched from Jeffrey Osborne to KC to, you know, Bobby and the LaVita
brothers.
Brothers and everybody, man. And I just, that what you guys are doing with giving everybody from the young to the old, just everybody an opportunity to be able to tell a story and have people to understand who they are and where they come from. Because you don't know where you're going unless you know where you come from.
100%.
And you guys spread it out to allow just every people coming in. You guys are doing an amazing job. And I can't tell you how proud I am of both of you guys, man.
Thank you, bro.
And then
thank
my DMV, you. Brother. Oh, yeah.
Come on, talk to Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this is the R&B Money Podcast, the authority on all things.
I wish a nigga would say it wasn't.
R&B.
Yeah.
And this has been the Pimpin' Edition.
Pimpin' Johnny.
The Pimpin' Johnny. Lil John himself. Make some noise for Johnny Gill.
R&B Money.
R&B Money is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Don't forget to subscribe to and rate our show. And you can connect with us on social media at Jay Valentine and at The Real Tank. For the extended episode, subscribe to youtube.com/RMB Money.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue with its powerful VC turbo engine. Well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect, whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.